Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Demons. The well-known Oxford literature professor C.S. Lewis once said, it's always one of two extremes. Either people don't believe in demons, or they're overly interested in them. So you might ask yourself where you are in there. And hopefully neither. Both extremes are spiritually dangerous. The scriptures are clear that demons are at work in our world, but while we're aware of their existence, it's best just not to be overly concerned about them. And the reason why is that we want our focus to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, and not on the demonic. Where our eyes are focused at any given moment is always the key to the first commandment, to honor and worship God. And we're just a little busy here celebrating what God has done for us in Christ. With that caveat in mind, Mark 1, 21 to 28 narrates Jesus' first encounter with a demon in Mark's gospel. Now, every January, I teach a course at the university on movies in the Bible. People have often asked me over the years whether one of the movies I show is The Exorcist. If you're not familiar with the film, no loss. It represented an invasion. God invaded this world of darkness and flooded it with the light of Christ. The Lord placed the forces of darkness on notice with his very found disciples go to the little town of Capernaum. We probably shouldn't be surprised that Jesus begins his comforting and compassionate ministry there. The word Capernaum means the village of Nahum. And it was the prophet Nahum who foretold how the gospel would be brought to the mountains. And Galilee is in the hill country. How appropriate then that the gospel's glad tidings should begin in a little town named after the prophet Nahum. Well, right away, immediately upon coming to town, Jesus entered the synagogue there on the Sabbath and began to teach. Well, the people were astonished at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who had authority and not like the scribes. Three times Mark emphasizes Jesus' teaching, but especially how the people recognized that there was an authority behind his teaching, unlike the scribes. And then, almost as if a stand-in for those unseen scribes, out of nowhere, the scribes are replaced by a demon. Shades of things to come. Will demonic forces be at work behind the religious leadership and their activities later in the gospel? Stay tuned. But Jesus' teaching must have shaken things up in that hidden unseen world, and apparently that unseen world had been expecting him. They had their representative already in place, ready to confront him. Just then, immediately, a man with an unclean spirit was in their synagogue. The invading entity from below is described literally as, and get this, a man in an unclean spirit. See, I thought the spirit was supposed to be inside the man. This guy is so totally possessed that the demonic spirits completely enveloped the poor soul. That's how wildly possessed he is. This must be one of the big guns in that unseen demonic world. The demon cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Now, the Jews over the Dead Sea thought that the demons would be destroyed before the very end. So does the demon think that this must be that time, that the end of the world must be near with Christ coming? So is this fear on the part of the demon? Or is it defiance? Isn't this a demonic counterattack? The demon goes on, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." See, in the ancient world, you'd use the name to get control over a supernatural entity. The demon is using his knowledge of Jesus' identity to get control by naming him, but he's clearly struggling at it. First, the demon calls him Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that doesn't work. "Well, I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Unlike the demon's repeated attempts, Look at Jesus' response. A single word. Silence. And then, come out of them. No amulets, no herbs, no binding prayer, no invocation of authorities, no gimmicks, just sheer, plain power. Jesus rebukes the demon, as we have in the English, but rebuke just does not convey the sheer control that Jesus was exerting over the forces of darkness. A cosmic war is taking place, but Jesus makes it seem almost effortless. And notice also that Jesus acts directly against the demon. Now, in first century exorcisms, you'd call on some god or supernatural entity or power to act against a demon. This is the effortless action of Jesus himself. And that would have been unprecedented in this world. And the people there noticed. But first, the demon has no choice but to submit. The unclean spirit threw him into convulsions, shouted with a loud voice, and came out of him, convulsing him. That's a word usually used for dogs tearing and ripping flesh with their jaws. It's a violent image. It's not pretty. But alas, the demon has no choice but to leave. Well, the onlookers were all amazed, and so they began to ask each other, what is this? Now, you would think that they would be so amazed at the miracle that had just taken place. But the effortless exorcism doesn't seem to have fazed them. They fixate instead on Jesus' words. I guess that's what made the bigger impression. They describe it as a new teaching with authority. Oh, and yes, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Well, at once, immediately, the news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity of Galilee. But for those watching all this play out, ultimately, this was a new teaching that came with authority. None of the scribes were out there teaching to cast out demons like this. There was power behind his words, and the people were recognizing that authority even before he cast the demon out. The miracle just confirmed their initial impression. Well, as you can imagine, the publicity bandwagon is starting to roll. Watch out. Of course, on an unseen plane, Jesus is stirring up a hornet's nest with his defeat of a demon here early in Mark. While this demon may have been a heavy hitter, even heavier hitters are lying in wait and will soon come to the plate. And this cosmic battle will spill over even to the human players, even to the disciples themselves. Jesus has launched the opening volley, and now there's war with the forces of darkness. But as we keep on reading Mark's gospel, will the result be any less assured? It's easy to read a passage like this and be ourselves amazed at the power of the Lord and his teaching. At every step of the way in the story, Mark wants us to see the Messiah and the Son of God who works salvation in our world. But Mark also emphasizes just as much that the disciples are to follow in the steps of the Lord. The calling of the first disciples took place, you may have noticed, in the verses just before Jesus began his earthly teaching ministry. And again, Jesus commissioned his disciples with authority to drive out demons. We don't want to overlook that Jesus' amazing ministry is now continuing in the lives of his disciples. Now, if you want to see the same power of God still at work in our world today, in the lives of Christ's disciples, my wife and I receive each month a newsletter from a group called The Voice of the Martyrs. The Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry started by an Eastern European Lutheran pastor who survived communist prisons and torture, Now, the newsletter each month shares the stories of brothers and sisters throughout the world who are suffering for the Lord's sake. Thank the Lord we haven't been thrown into prisons and tortured like that here in the United States, or at least not yet. Well, in their November issue was the story of a woman from Sierra Leone in Africa who'd come to faith at the age of 14. Now, before coming to faith while still a child, she'd been part of a secret society. That soul. She adds, I want to tell you, it's not only because my grandmother said it, but I myself tried it and saw it with my own naked eyes. I saw it in the children who became Christians. When we wanted to take them, those children you cannot take. There is a force that fights you. Now, eventually, this young lady encountered the power of the Word of God directly, and it worked a miracle in her life. Once the Word of God was shared with her, she would realize that she had already encountered Jesus in the spiritual realm as the one who protects the Christians. As she learned his teachings, it changed her. She even changed her name after her baptism, the Miracle, to reflect what Christ had done in her life. Now she wants everyone to know about the precious Savior Jesus. Jesus had simply cast the demons out of her life. Now Jesus is protecting Miracle. That's why we don't need to worry too much about demons. They're just not worth our energy. Our eyes are always on our Savior Jesus Christ. His teaching is powerful and authoritative. Even the demons shudder. And he is watching over and protecting each and every one of his own. By faith in. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.